Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
You know, my title to my sermon speaks of the perfect father, and that title might get your mind roaming just for a second. You know, who would your perfect father be if you had to choose? Because literally none of us got to choose who our father or our dad would be. Some may choose somebody like Steve Jobs or maybe Elon Musk or Chuck Norris. That would be cool, right? Even though he's gone, and to be with the Lord, to have Chuck Norris, you know. Maybe John Wayne. Or somebody else that you could think of in your mind. We all have someone. Well, I wish that one would have been mine. And some of you dads in this might be thinking, oh no, another sermon on how to be the perfect dad. Another list that a preacher gives you in order to make you better. You know, I think about my own dad and how I would choose him all over again if I had a chance. Yet he had some faults in his life and he made some mistakes raising us. So I could really say that I did not have a perfect dad, but I'd choose him all over again if I had the opportunity. I even think about my own influence in raising my daughters and how I made some mistakes doing that. Maybe too hard in some areas in their life and maybe too soft in other areas of their life and maybe not giving enough of myself to their raising. I think we can all look back and see our own mistakes and where we fell short and how we raised our children. So they too did not have a perfect dad. Because it's literally a very difficult thing to be perfect. Actually, it's impossible. So the truth of the matter, no matter how good your dad was, he was not perfect. There's some kind of flaw, and even in church people, we sometimes get to thinking that we're perfect, but the Holy Spirit has a tendency to point out a flaw that you have. You know, I posted a scripture last week, and it talking about, you know, not to lose your temper and show mercy to those that treat you wrong. I had a week of people treating me bad. I'm thinking, why did I post that? All I did was wait, and be really calm and tried, and the Lord spoke to me. He says, now, do you remember what you posted? And I said, yes, I did. You know, even the Bible dads, we often think of the people in the Bible as being perfect and think about them, but really the Bible is a mess when it comes to relationships. Have you noticed that? That you want to see real people, read the Bible. And see how they did things. David's boys had issues under his raising. One of them killed the other. I mean, that's pretty bad family business. Jacob's boys and daughters were no saints when you read about them. Samson's dad must have at one point said, where did I go wrong? Amen? And the list just can go on and on if you read the Bible and you look at the dads that are in the Bible and you'll say, my word. Some of their kids turned out good and some of them turned out just like them, but there was no perfect dad in the Bible. So the truth is that even with all of our efforts, dads, we will never be perfect. Accept it. That's the way it is. But can I tell you this morning, in these next few minutes, there is one Father that is perfect. There is one Father that is perfect. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 says this, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Can I tell you this morning, he is a reality in our lives as Christians. It's not some mythical, or he's not some mythical being that we've created. He's not a figure of our imagination. He is real. And I think sometimes as children of God, family of God, we don't quite get a hold of the fact that he is our Father in heaven. He is there. He is real. He is truly our Father. He dwells in heaven. He is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. How many of you remember when you were growing up and maybe some little kid pushed you or something, you said, my daddy will whoop your daddy? Can I tell you this morning, our Father in heaven is omnipotent, all-knowing. That wouldn't be good that we had an earthly father that was all-knowing. How many agree with me? But the fact is, the one that we have in heaven is all-knowing. And he's everywhere. It's not just a song, I'm everywhere, man, but the Lord is everywhere. He's our Heavenly Father. He holds the world in his hand. Yet he cares deeply and personally for his children, each one of us. That's our Heavenly Father. That's the one that we call Father in heaven. He is the perfect Father. And this morning I want to look at three ways that, and there's no way that I can even teach everything about God because our Father, because I don't know everything about him. But I want to look at three things this morning that perhaps can help us understand how perfect he is. Our Father in heaven has perfect love. He has perfect love. I think about the love. And that love he expresses to us. You know, if you love, love needs to be expressed some way. Amen? There's a lot of you guys, you'd never be married unless you expressed your love somehow. And our Heavenly Father doesn't just love, but he expresses that love. 1 John 4:9, it says this, in this way manifested the love of God. Manifested means it was evident, it was apparent. We seen it toward us because that God sent his only begotten Son into this world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. His love wasn't just in words. He didn't say, hey, in heaven, I love them down here on earth. But he expresses his love to us that the fact that he sent Jesus Christ to us that we may have life and life more abundantly. His love was action. I thank God for that today. He expresses it to you. And many of you have felt his expression of love in other ways in your life, knowing that the Father loves you. There's no doubt when we think about it. It's another type of love also. It's a love that his perfect love endures in our lives. It continues throughout our lives. I thank God for that. You know, I've talked to couples that say we just don't love each other anymore. And you wonder, where did the love go that day they stood before each other and exchanged vows? What happened to that moment? I mean, you know, a true marriage, love endures through the thick and the thin. Love endures through sickness and health. Love continues to go forth. Our Father's love is an enduring love to me. It's not based on my actions, and sometimes we feel like we must earn his love, but his love is just pure love unto us. Amen? His love is there. His love was there when I was a rotten guy. Amen? Pastor, you was a rotten guy. Yes. His love was there when I was the worst I could be in my life. And his love has been there when I've been the best I could be. His love's been in the middle of it. His love is enduring. You know, it's the enemy that says that you are unlovable. But can I tell you today, our Father in heaven loveth thee. No matter what you're doing, his love is there for you. His love is abundance. It's enduring. It's not based on action. Can I tell you, sometimes we're harder to love than others. Amen? I would ask you how many of you have got people in your life that are easier to love than others, but don't raise your hand. We all know what life is like. But what I'm expressing this morning, our Father in heaven loves us. His love endures throughout our life. His love looks different sometimes in our life, but his love endures. Romans 8:38 says this, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? And if I was to ask you this morning how many times you felt like God didn't love you anymore, I'm going to tell you he still loves you. He's that heavenly Father that has based his relationship on his love that we call an agape love, which is unconditional type love. He loves you. Amen. That love endures through everything that we do. Sometimes that love requires discipline every now and then. Every now and then, the Lord loves us enough to spank us. Now, some of you young people have never really been spanked. Mine was borderline abuse. But let me tell you today, not for my kids, I was spanked that way, but he loves us enough, and oftentimes we think, well, God just loves me the way I am, but God loves us enough to want us to change to be who he wants us to be. Amen? His love is there to discipline us. I said he loves us even when we're bad, but at the same time, he loves us enough to try to get us back on the right track, to try to get us back where we need to be. That's called discipline. How many know that discipline is not where you abuse your child? It's a learning experience. It should be something that's going to teach that child not to do that anymore. And sometimes God takes us to the woodshed in order to get us back on the right track, that we will serve him as he would have us to serve him, and that we would be the child that God wants us to be. He loves us enough. His love is there. His love is perfect enough to get us back on the right track. He wants us to serve him in such a wonderful way. Another ideal here, as I thought about, is our Father in heaven has perfect provision for you and I. Perfect provision for you and I. I think about our Heavenly Father this morning. Genesis 22:13 says, "Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for the burnt offering instead of his son." This is when God told Abraham to take Isaac and put him and sacrifice him unto him. But Abraham held on to the very fact that God had told him through this young man, your seed will continue to go forward. He had faith that if he did kill Isaac, then God would have to raise him up. What a situation. I couldn't imagine taking one of my children at God's word and laying on an altar, raising my knife up, thinking I'm fixing to kill them, and having the faith knowing that God would raise them back up. What a story. What a peer pressure moment. But all that time, God was seeing about Abraham's faith, and afterwards he provided a ram in the thicket. And Abraham said this afterwards, and Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide, as it said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Now, if you read the King James Version, it says Jehovah Jireh. We all hear that when we start to mention all the different names of God. And here it says Jehovah Jireh, speaking of the fact of what the New Living or the New King James speaks of, is that the Lord will provide. When we use the word Jehovah itself, which we have learned reveals God as the eternal, self-existent one, the God of revelation, the God of moral and spiritual attributes, of righteousness, holiness, love, and therefore of redemption. Can I tell you, when we talk about God, there's nobody that can compare to him. There's nobody that can compare to his power, his authority. And how many of you know one day we're going to all see this in reality? When God comes back, when Jesus comes back, we're going to see the power of God like we've never seen before. When we speak of Jehovah, we're not speaking of someone that's been shaped by a man and out of a piece of wood as an idol or a piece of metal. It's not a golden calf that Jeroboam made, but it is God himself. Jehovah. Now, it happens to be Jehovah is also our Father. Now, think about that for a moment. Jehovah is our Father. He is our God, our Father, and it ties in, Abraham tied in the word Jehovah Jireh. That is, God's provision shall be seen, is what it means. Now listen, we have Jehovah and God's provision will be seen. I believe in my life, I have witnessed his provision over and over and over and over and over again. There's an old song that says, count your blessings, name them one by one. And what is it speaking of? It's saying, count what God's done in your life. Count the provision, the many times the blessing is there. I'm going to say this today. I've watched God over my life. My Father in heaven has made a way where there didn't seem to be a way. I've shared with y'all when we were moved from Spearman and we moved to Boise City, Oklahoma, and I figured the budget in my little ledger that I was trying to figure out. Now Dad is not here. I'm going to have to figure out how to do things on my own. And we had $25 left out of every paycheck. But this was after we tried to get a house to rent and nobody would rent us a house in Boise City because we were strangers, especially being from Texas. I met a lady for a house and see if she would rent it. I just heard they said that she rented it out every now and then. And I thought, well, I went down there and talked to her. And she told me when she looked at me, says, we've rented it. We'll never rent the house again. And I thought, well, that's not good. I need a place to live. You know, God provides. And I knew exactly what I could afford, and it wasn't much. I had a guy come into the store at Boise City, Jimmy's store. And he said, I want you to lift your hat and stick your tongue out. I go, that is so weird. And he says, why? I said, why? He says, I've never seen a silver-talking devil before or something like that. And I go, well, I don't even know you, and this is not going well. And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, let me tell you something. I had papers ready, all made up. I'm going to buy the house off the lady you've been talking to. And she says, no, I'm going to rent it to that preacher. And when she called me to let me know she was renting it, she said, how much can you afford? It wasn't like setting amount. It was what I could afford. We got a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, a beautiful man garage. I mean, it was a shop for $200 a month. I'm just telling you today, we understand, you got to understand, God is faithful to his children. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is your Father. When we start to figure out what we understand, that when we're in need, God will provide. Now, I'm not a prosperity preacher, but I'm telling you what, I will preach the fact that our God in heaven will supply our needs. Even after $200 a month, we still only had $25. Then I get a call about the church in Campo, and they want to know if I was a preacher. I said, yeah, I'll preach. I ended up being pastor at that church. They had a parsonage to live in. All of a sudden, my $25 has just really multiplied. Got a house, utilities paid. They're going to pay me $600 a month as a pastor. I'm just saying, I can think back over my life that my Heavenly Father has taken care of me. And he is the one in the above. And you say, well, he's just up there. He doesn't care about you. I'm saying this morning, he cares about you tremendously. And he's able to provide in ways that you would never think of. God is that good. He provides. He provides for our physical needs. He says, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Matthew 6:31 says this, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whatever shall be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have been need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he will supply all of your needs. Amen. Do you believe it this morning? He will supply all your needs. He even supplies healing for our bodies. That physical need, Isaiah 53:5, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Divine healing power. Now, I still got some time, but I'm going to tell you, I've experienced healing in my body. God's healed me more than once, and I haven't got time to tell all the testimonies, but let me tell you, over the years, I've seen God heal people of sicknesses that the doctor says they're not able to be healed, and God did a tremendous, tremendous miracle in their life. I've shared, incidentally, one night during revival, a lady on the right could not move her hands. They told her organs were literally getting so hard in her body was shutting down. She'd been praying. We prayed, and one night God touched her at the altar, and her hands went out like this. She has never had that issue again since that night. God still heals. He is our Jehovah Jireh. He takes care of our bodies. He takes care of all that we need. He is our Father in heaven. Now, I used to go to my dad. My dad was a little bit like me. He was pretty tight. And I knew better than to go and ask him for rent. I knew better than that. But can I tell you this morning that God will help you out? God will meet your needs. He meets our spiritual needs. He is Jehovah Jireh in our spiritual need. You know, we're told in Romans 3:23, for we have all sinned, come short of the glory of God. You know what that means? Every one of us was born with a need. I didn't choose to be born into sin. You didn't choose to be born into sin. But we all were born with need in our life, and that we needed to be washed from the sin that we were all born into. Why? Study it. Go back to Genesis. You'll find what happened in the garden that brought the curse on all mankind, curse on the earth. Why? Because they rebelled against God. They listened to the devil and took his advice instead of God's. We had a spiritual need. Every one of us in this church had a spiritual need. And if that spiritual need is not met before we breathe our last breath, we will have eternal problems. What do you mean, Pastor? That means you will end up in the lake of fire eventually without having that need met. How does that need met? Through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through the preaching of the word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, for whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I'm going to tell you, you don't go to heaven on religion. You don't go to heaven on opinion. You don't go to heaven on what you think is right. You go to heaven on what the word of God proclaims, and the word of God says we must be washed in the blood of Jesus. There's no other way to heaven other than through Christ himself. It doesn't matter if my grandma was holy, holy, holy. I've got to do it myself. God, our Father, met our need spiritually by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die up on the cross of Calvary. He was resurrected the third day, now sitting at the right-hand side of the Father, interceding for you and I, but through the blood by faith, I am washed by the blood. I am not perfect. I know I just shocked some of y'all. But may I tell you this morning, I am washed by the blood of the Lamb. Why? Because my heavenly Father met my spiritual need through his Son, Jesus Christ. And now I am among the redeemed. And if that is true, and I know it's true, I find in Ephesians 1:3, now listen to this, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He is Jehovah Jireh. He not only saves us, but blesses us spiritually. Can I tell you this morning also that he's Jehovah Jireh for our souls? See, we are body and we are spirit and we are souls. He touches our souls. Now, if you want to know what's going on in your soul, it's that emotions that you have. It's that's really where I struggled last week trying to behave myself. And I'm thinking, I shouldn't have posted that scripture. I mean, literally, even up last night, I just really had to reel her in because I was really wanting to say something. Let me tell you, we all struggle in our souls, our emotions, things that get us. Have you noticed in life someone will make you mad? Just drive an Amarillo a little bit, and you'll have to pray through. I found better people in L.A. than I find in Amarillo, Texas. You can turn your signal on in Amarillo, and you got to push your way over because they're not going to let you in. But I'm telling you today that we all struggle in our emotions. We struggle with depression. We may struggle with just hurting. Whatever it may be in your emotions, you may be hurt. Someone may hurt you. And that's going to happen in life. But God came. Jesus came. The Father has come that we may be healed, not only physically, not only providing physical needs and also spiritual needs, but he is concerned about what's going on in our head. Philippians 4:7 says this, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He can bring peace where there's nothing but turbulence. He's able to settle you down when the doctor just gave you bad news. He's able to help you when you're battling depression. He's able to help you when things aren't quite right. The verse before that says, bring your petition before God with thanksgiving. Why? Because my God, hallelujah, I'm going to tell you this, he can do anything. Amen. He can bring power from heaven. He can encourage me when I'm down. I've come to church and just didn't feel like going. And that's when Robin says, well, you got to go. You're the preacher. But I've been in those moments in my life that just, but one moment, one second with God, and he can encourage and he can bring peace. He may say something. I know it looks bad now, but it too shall pass. Oh, brother, what a peace that God can give us. Why? Because he is concerned about us having peace in our life, peace in our marriages, peace in our businesses, peace in our family. God is able to bring peace about all things. He's able to do it. Sometimes we have to use that word called patience. But let me tell you, be patient. It'll pay off. If you don't have a stroke first, but it'll pay off. Wait for God to do amazing things, but God is really interested. He, our Father, wants us to have peace of mind. Amen? That you have peace of mind in all that you do. Over my life, God has brought one wave of peace after another. When I didn't see any way out, I prayed unto the Lord, and that peace came in. Peace came in. Peace came in. Why? Because our Heavenly Father cares about our peace. The last thing, our Heavenly Father is perfect in relationships. And again, this is not all that you can preach about the Heavenly Father. This is just some things I had. Our Heavenly Father is perfect in relationship. He will never forsake you. April the 13th. 2000, my dad breathed his last breath. Up to that point, him and I were good buddies. Other than when I left the store, we had to get over that a little bit. He had me planned out to run High Plains Auto all my life, and God had a different direction for us. He didn't do it on his choice, but it was time for him to leave. So he truly forsaked me there at that moment, or forsook me at that moment. But I'm going to tell you, I found out after that the Lord spoke into my heart. He says, I'm your heavenly Father. I'll never leave you. I'll be with you. You know how long he's going to be with me? For eternity. For eternity. You got to think about it just for a moment. Did you know that crisis in America, there's 18.2 million, listen to this, children have been forsaken. 18.2 million. Guys, can I tell you, this Father's Day is not celebrated as much as Mother's Day. The number one holiday to celebrate is Christmas. The number two holiday to celebrate is Mother's Day. Now, that's interesting. You know where we lay? We are on number 20. Something's wrong with that picture. Number 20, that means Halloween, it's even before us. But that's America. Because 18.2 million children have been forsaken by their fathers. One in four without a biological father. One in four without a stepfather. One in four without an adoptive father is what the statistics say. Research shows that when a child is raised in a father's absent home, they are affected in the following way. Greater risk of poverty, more likely to have behavioral problems, greater risk of infant mortality, more likely to go to prison, more likely to commit crime, more likely to become pregnant as a teen, more likely to face abuse and neglect. I didn't make these up. I got these. These are fresh. More likely to abuse drug and alcohol when the father is absent from the house. In a study of 56 school shootings, only 10 of the shooters, 18%, were raised in a stable home with both biological parents. 82% grew up in either an unstable family environment or grew up without a biological parent in the house. I'm saying today there's something about when the father abandons the child that has an effect on that child. And some children feel so lonely and lost in their life because their dad had nothing to do with them. I'm not trying. You may have that in your life, but I'm not trying to depress you this morning. Sometimes life is what life is and reality is what it is. But somewhere in our life, we've got to make our mind up that we must move past when a dad forsakes us. We must move past that. Because I'm going to tell you this morning, just as much as you see me up on this platform, there's a heavenly Father above that is your Father in heaven that cares much more for you than your earthly father would ever care for you. He is the God of all things. He is the creator of all things. And he will never forsake you nor leave you. He is with you through the thick and the thin. He will walk by your side. Oh, he'll be there for you. He is our God in heaven, our Father. He is there for you to ask a question. Come on. He is there to love and discipline us. He's there to reward and bless. He is there to rejoice and to hold your heart in times of trouble. That's our Father in heaven. He will always be with you. Can I tell you just for a moment, I have experienced such quiet times, peaceful times, encouraging times with my Heavenly Father. Now listen, I have never heard him speak to me audibly. But he speaks to me in my heart. That quiet, still voice. I have had him answer questions for me. I was so rattled one time after a minister's meeting. I was not going to pastor anymore. I don't encourage you to go to minister meetings. No. It was in Lubbock, and I'm riding in the car. I'm driving my dark blue Cadillac with that big V8 in it. And I turn off the radio, and I said, God, we have to have a conversation. Lord, you hear my heart right now, Father. You hear my how I'm hurting, and all these things are going on inside of me. And we had a conversation for about 100 miles there in between Lubbock and Amarillo. And I had been invited, and I've told y'all this, I was invited to a revival, and that's always got me in trouble because I try to keep my word. I went there, I didn't want to go. I was just sitting on the church pew, and I thought, I didn't want to be here. But I told Brother Nickel I would come. The evangelist was Mr. Osborne. And he preached, and oh man, the presence of God came down, and then altar services came, and we thought it was all over, and all of a sudden he looks over there and points a finger at me. And I don't know if you have a man that's been speaking over somebody, I thought, oh no. He speaks to me, brings me up on the platform, answers every question that I ask God in that car. Now you talk about a shouting moment. I just blew mine. He said, you said this. And I go, who? I'm thinking. And it was exactly what I said in my car. I'm just saying this morning is because I want you to understand, if you will just trust the Heavenly Father. I know sometimes earthly fathers don't have time, and maybe they've forsaken you, but the one that you're serving this morning, the one that we call our Heavenly Father, He hears you. He's there for you. He comforts you. And he proceeded to tell me everything. And when I left that place, listen, I was no longer depressed. When I got home in Stinnett at that time, I was out front in my house just shouting and praising God. And I just wondered if the Baptist preacher who lived across the street was seeing that crazy Pentecostal guy in the front yard. But I mean, it's one of those moments of revelation that you understand that God is more than something we read about in the Bible. He's more than what some preacher may say that he's your father. I want you to understand this morning, he is your father. And he's perfect. And he has time for you. I'm sure he was busy. I'm sure Gabriel was in front of him trying to say this. He said, whoa, 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 Billy Snyder's talking. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. And he's there to hear you in your rejoicing times. He's there to hear you in your time of need. And he's there when you say, hey, I'm just checking in. Just want to tell you how much I love you. What I want to encourage you is to build a relationship with him. Build the relationship with him. Practice talking to him. You know, how many... I'm sure most of you that have had a phone call with your dad is usually like 2 seconds. Now, I know Kylie's dad, Bobby. Now, he'll call me, and I can't get him off the phone. But that's because he likes talking when he's traveling. And I'll say, back when he did the sales, I said, you must be in between Kansas and Texas because you're going to talk to me for 2 hours. I said, I'm hanging up. But I'm going to tell you something. Just as much as we try to have a conversation with, build the relationship with him. He will hear you. Talk to him. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe you ought to give him respect that's there. I believe you ought to understand that he is still God. He's the one that spoke into darkness and brought forth everything. He is to be honored, and that's why it says, my Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Respect him, but understand he wants to have a conversation with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to be there. Sometimes I've looked, you know, how many are like me that when something goes good in your life, you just want somebody to call and tell him about it? When I used to go on vacation, I'd call and tell Dad how nice it was while he's working. Now Ken does that to me while he's in the mountains, but I would just like to share something, you know. Now Robin and I share that together, but sometimes I just got to tell the Lord. I said, Father, thank you for this creation that we get to enjoy. Thank you for the mountains. Thank you for the time. Thank you for all that you provide in my life. What am I doing? I'm having a conversation with my Heavenly Father because he hears me. I realize I'm just a little speck on what we call the planet Earth. But he has time for that little speck. Each one of us. Oh, now, you can say, how's he do it? I have no idea. We'll figure that out when we get to heaven. It's probably going to amaze us. I hope it isn't Zoom. But do you know he'll never abuse us? And I thank God for that. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And I know this scripture is penned concerning Israel at the returning of their captivity from Babylon, but it also exposes God's heart about those he loves. He does care about your life. He does care about you, our Heavenly Father. James 1:16 says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow. He will always remain faithful to you. Even when you're not faithful, he's faithful to come after you. He's there. He doesn't ever change his mind towards you. He is faithful. Amen. That's just a little bit about the Heavenly Father this morning. He's the only one that's perfect. So I think sometimes we need to give our dads a little bit of grace and understand. Even tell him that, Dad, I realize you're not perfect, but I love you anyhow. But can I tell you this morning, our Heavenly Father is. And we need to tell him, I love you, Lord.